Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the 12th month, the 29th day of the year 2024, and it's the Lord's Day within the octave of Christmas, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice.
Christ is truly born.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Don't let the apostate Jews or anyone else lie to you. Christ is truly born. Blessed Merry Christmas, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and all angels and saints and Catholics and men of goodwill, all 20 of them, and St. Thomas Becket.
Pray for us.
Now, I wanted to talk basically about the brothers because they're going back to tonight. They're going to be returning. And I talked about it before, but just to remind you of the schedules and all. Now, when the brothers go back, like I told them, they're on their own schedules. Nobody's going to be in charge, all right? Between TJ and Matthew and Declan, I'm the one who's in charge. So if there's any questions about anything, you come to me. You're all on equal basis, all on equal standing. And also, I think it's best that you do the offices on your own, because depending on when somebody wants to wake up, someone has a different schedule. All I will tell you is to make sure you set up a routine. But I'll just talk to you about it briefly. You definitely want to be on a routine. Your body loves a routine. And it gets used, when you're not on a routine, it's chaos, it's discord, your body doesn't know what to do from one moment to the next. That's what I'm saying. Like, when you're on a routine, my body tells me, at 7 o'clock at night, I pray compline, and I have a cigar, and I have wine. So if up at 9 or 10 or 12 in the morning, my body doesn't want wine. It doesn't want a cigar. It says, no, it's not time for that. Your body is not used to that, and your body rejects it. See, that's why people, when they get alcoholics and all that, they can't moderate or control themselves. They have no routine. They do whatever they want, whenever they want. If you pray whenever you want, and you don't have a certain time when you pray, you're in trouble. Because you'll wake up in the morning and say, well, I got a couple things to do. I'll pray later on, maybe like in about another hour. Then you're doing something. And then now you're not really ready for it. Your body doesn't even have the habit for it. So I'll give you an example about, even my cat knows my routine. Animals have routine. He knows when I wake up. He knows when I come in. At night, he knows how many times I come in. He knows when to come in. Because I do it every day at the same around the same time. I got the routine. And when you don't have a routine, your body is not used to these things. Your body's got to get used to eating at a certain time. That's why I tell you, don't eat in between meals. Because that's one of the main causes of being overweight, eating in between meals and drinking sodas and all. You know how much calories is in one soda? You just ate a meal. And sodas aren't even healthy for you. I mean, you just ate a whole meal and knocked on about 100 calories. You could have like a steak or something. But so if you're used to eating it, like I eat between... I have like a bowl of oatmeal in the morning, every morning, just a bowl of oatmeal, little packet, real quick. And then at 1:30, I eat my main meal. And then at night, after I'm done with my cigar and all that, I have a snack. And so my body's used to that. And it knows that, no, I don't want to eat now because you don't eat now. You eat at 1:30. No, you don't have your wine now. You have that at night with your cigar. So your body rejects it until it comes to that time when your body then says, now... it's time for this. Now it's time to do prime. Now it's time to do compline. Now, and you can break, your routine could differ a little bit, like on holy days like the Lord's Day, or you can have a little bit of a different schedule. But it's so important to get that routine down, and then your body loves it. Your body, it's like automatic. Now, other than that, if you don't have the routine, your body, it's in chaos. You don't know what you're going to do from one second to the next. You know, and you end up missing your prayers eventually. You don't even want to pray anymore because your body doesn't have that habit. It becomes burdensome. Mm-hmm. And then you go, oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I was going to pray in about another hour. Okay, I'll wait another half hour. Oh, I forgot to pray. Your body's all messed up. So you definitely want to get yourselves on a routine when you go back there, whatever your situation is. And because each one of you guys may have a different schedule, that's why I say that you should do your prime and compline on your own. And come together, if you're together in the house in the afternoon, like around 12 o'clock, then come together and pray the Angelus and read the Martyrology. That's what Ron and the Litany. Ron and I, that's all we did. We didn't pray together, not even in prime or compline. We just prayed in the afternoon. We would come together and I would do the Angelus. We would read the Martyrology and we would read the current Litany for the day. And that's it. You know, as far as praying together, because he would get up at different hour than I would get up. But he had his own schedule too. He was on his routine. He had his own routine. So whatever your routine is, and my thing is, with prayers, you want to get those things done in the morning, first thing. You don't want to wait for prayers, because that's how you start your morning off. And let's say, like, you got to work at a certain time. A morning prayers only take 15 minutes. I mean, it's not a lot. I mean, 15 maximum, 20 minutes. So, okay, so you got to go to work, let's say, at 9 o'clock, and it takes you a half hour to get to work, so you got to leave at 8:30. You want to make sure you wake up 15 to 20 minutes earlier to get your morning prayers done and to have your little meal, breakfast or whatever. And then when you're done, you're ready to go to work. And those prayers will light you up for the rest of the day. They'll strengthen you. They'll give you all these graces. So you're talking about you wake up 15, 20 minutes earlier than you normally would have. And then at nighttime, you can go to bed 15, 20 minutes earlier if you want to keep the 8-hour schedule. At nighttime, whatever. My schedule is I go to bed between 10 and 11, and I wake up between 7 and 8. Generally, about 10:30 and 7:30. But it's between those spans of time, so between 10 and 11, and then I wake up between 7 and 8. It's just every day. That's it. Usually about 10:30 and then 7:30. But anywhere within that span of time. And then as soon as I wake up, the first thing you do is your morning prayers. I put on my tea so it's cooking, and I go in there and do my prayers. And then when I'm done with the morning prayers, then I got my tea. I have the oatmeal then too. Then I got my tea. And then I come in, and it includes my daily scripture reading too, by the way. That's included. I do that in the morning. Mm-hmm. Now, you may want to do that at night, so I don't know how you want to fit the scripture reading in. You may want to do that when you come home, but you want to get that in too. So then once I'm done with all the scripture reading, and that's why you don't see me get online until around 8:30 or 9, because I'm doing my prayers, I'm doing my scripture readings, I'm doing my Bible memorization verses. And then when I'm done, then I go on the computer, and then I start working on my prayer book thing. See, while you guys are corresponding, I'm there, so it's easy. I just go, what did he say? I go back to my work. And then I do all my spiritual work up to about 12 o'clock. And after 12 o'clock, I'm done with all the deep work, because that's my deep thinking goes up to 12. After that, in the afternoon, I'll do my exercises. I got a special, after when I'm done eating, I then take my long walk, and before 12 o'clock, but for instance, at 12 o'clock, I do go in and do the Angelus and all that, and I also exercise three times a day. I do 3 days a week. I do physical exercises, like lifting weights and push-ups and all that, only 3 days a week, and those 3 days a week, I also take my long walk. So, just giving you an idea on the schedule I have. So I'll come in here at 12 o'clock, I'll do the afternoon prayers, I lift my weights. I eat at 1:30. After I'm done eating at 1:30, I take my long rosary walk and chaplet walk, which is about 2 or 3 miles. I forget how long I walk it. And I do that 3 times a week. The other days I do a short walk. And then I come back. So after you're done eating too, so you're not so 2:30. Then I'm going to either do some research work that I needed to look at, some work around the house. If I need to do some work around the house, or I'll do some research that I was thinking about, you know. And then I lay down like from 3 or 4 o'clock for about a half hour. I just lay down and take a nap for half hour, 3 or 4. And then when I do too, then I play my games too. I recreate every day, at least for an hour, hour and a half, at least on recreation. So let's see, that's between, 4:30 and 6 o'clock or something like that. Then, then around 6 o'clock, I watch the nightly news right before 7. I watch the nightly news. While I'm watching the news, I play another game, a solitaire game, while I'm watching the news. And then after that, around 7 o'clock, I do the comp line. Then I get a cigar, I get the wine, I watch a movie. And then when I'm done with that, I have a snack, and that's usually done about 9 o'clock. So I have a snack. I eat, and then about 9:30, I'm in bed just reading, either doing a crossword puzzle, or I'm reading some research, like some of the church fathers, St. Gregory the Great, St. Augustine, or I'm doing some research. So once you get your body used to that schedule, your body operates on autopilot. It just does it. And that's people, most of the people, when they have trouble praying and with, they don't have a routine. And their body does not know what to do. Actually, your body's not ready to do anything at any moment. You're just sort of like stuck. Well, I'll pray now. Okay. And then when you finally do pray, you're praying because you have to. It's a burden. It becomes like a struggle. Because your body isn't really ready to pray at any time. Now, well, I pray now, or I'm going to eat now. That's why when you have children, even, you want to have them eat at certain hours. So to get used to, you can't eat in between meals. You eat at certain hours. If you let the people make up their own mind, they start eating between meals. They start everything. Anyway, I'm just giving you guys an idea when you go back there. How to set yourself up on a nice routine. You've been here, you're on down a good routine here. Mm-hmm. Now, when you were here, it was good, too, that you guys did come together to pray, because as long as the hours are sufficient for all you, it's a good thing. And like I said, here's the other thing, too, when you guys are going to be together, I would say at least once a week, watch a movie together, if you could, like we do. And again, there's a schedule, right? What is our schedule? My body tells me it's the fifth weekday, it's movie night. I'm coming out here for movie night. Now, we make exceptions for sports events and all that, so we'll come out here a little bit earlier. So I would say once, would you guys can watch a movie together at least once a week. And then other than that, you probably want to watch the movies on your own, unless you agree. I'm not saying it's like set in stone. You guys could watch movies every night if you want, if you're watching a series. But my way of thinking is, and that's why even with Ron, he watched his movie, I watched mine. Because you're inspired to watch something different than the other guy. You may want to look at something, the other guy wants to look at something else. So that's, and when you're having your wine or when you're watching your movie, God's inspiring you. And you're able to watch whatever you feel that God is inspiring you to look at that time. Because a lot of times, maybe you're not inspired, one guy wants to look at something else, you want to look at something different. But, so that's the way we do it here. Even that's how I did it with Ron. We only came together once a week, like when we all came together to watch a movie. And then during the week, Ron will go into his place, he'd watch a movie, or he'd look at a lecture, or he'd watch a sport game. And I'd be watching a movie over in my place. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is you sort of want to be on the same kind of schedule, in the sense, unless somebody had like a night job where they got to work through the night. And police officers and nurses and doctors, sometimes they got to work through the night. Then you have a schedule that's kind of, if you got people living in a house and you guys are up during the day and they're sleeping, that's going to be a problem. So unless you have a job that requires you to be up at night, you really should not be up at night. That's another thing I'm going to tell you. If you're staying up late, and you don't have to stay up late, you got a problem. Now, you may have a physical problem or something's wrong where you can't sleep, you've got insomnia or something, but it's not good. That's why, here's the thing I'm going to tell you, and that's why I tell you about routine again. If for some reason I go beyond my 11 o'clock limit of when I go to bed, and for some reason it's now 12 or 12:30, I'm awake again. You get into like this thing where you're awake and now you can't sleep. Because you were ready to sleep at 11, you pushed it till around 12, 12:30, and your body's now saying that you don't want to go to sleep, and then you could be up all night. You can have a heck of a time getting back to sleep now because you stayed beyond your limit. It's now 12, 12:30, and your body's like this, and you can't go to bed. That's why I'm telling you, if you do this, I look at it, I go, it's 11 o'clock. Don't stay up, go to bed, and then you're out. Okay, you stay up a little bit too late, you get that second wind, your body's telling you it doesn't want to sleep anymore, and now you're like this, having a heck of a time get to sleep, and you can be up 2, 3, 4 in the morning. That's not normal. Mm-hmm. It is not normal, unless you have to work at night. If you have a family, like imagine a husband and wife, and you have kids, and the husband's up all night, and his wife and kids are up in the morning, and husband's sleeping all day because he's up all night. Is that a family? How can you ever have a family that way? Where's dad? He's sleeping. How come? He was up all night. Yeah, but we were sleeping all night. Yeah, I know, but he was up all night. Now, if he had to be up all night, fine. I'm not like a doctor or a lawyer, a fireman, a policeman. Fine. But if that's not the case and you're doing that, that's vicious. there's something really wrong with you, and you're really, anybody who lives kind of like that, and they don't have to, you're meant to be living alone, because you can't, unless you live, if you're living with somebody else who's on a regular, normal, daytime schedule. I mean, God is, it's in the Bible, right? It says, when the night comes, men go to bed and the animals come out, and then in the morning, man wakes up and the animals go to hide. So, you have, it's a normal cycle that God has given you. And that's why people get into a habit. Now, if you have insomnia, I'm not just something, people do have insomnia and they can't sleep. That's a physical issue that can happen. But for most people, you're an average person, and you're pushing yourself by staying up like that. And when it comes down to this is too, you say, well, I'm so used to it. Well, do some penance and break your body for about a day or two and force it to stay, force it so you can put yourself back into a regular schedule. Which would mean like maybe one day, like if you're used to staying up 3, 4, or 5 in the morning, then what you're going to have to do is when you normally go to bed at like 4 or 5 in the morning, don't go to bed. Force yourself to stay up for that whole day. So, but now it comes nighttime around 10 or 11, now you're tired. You got to force yourself into a better schedule. If you can't do that, then that's like, it's penance, right? Okay, it would be hard in the beginning. But don't say you can't do it. You could do it. Offer it up as a penance to change your schedule. If not, you're a weak person. It's almost like a sin's involved in that, where you can't moderate yourself. You can't change your schedule. That's why so many people that are addicted to alcohol and all kinds of stuff, and they overeat. They have no routine when they're eating, or they don't even regulate what they're eating when they're eating. It's all a problem of moderation and regulating yourself. So once you force your body to get into a good, like even a drug addict who's addicted to drugs, and some of these things are physical, it's going to hurt for them to get off of heroin or fentanyl really bad. But you want to get better, that's what you got to do. And then when you do get better, you're going to thank God that you went through it and you didn't break, and somebody was there to help you maybe to make sure you don't go back. And then you're going to say, I'm free. But in the beginning, it's hard. That's an extreme example of like a heroin addict or something. But if you're used to staying late up at night, you're going to have to also break that habit. You're going to have to break that habit. You're going to have to don't take naps during the day for a while. Don't go to bed when you normally would at 4 or 5 in the morning. Stay up. So then when it comes nighttime, around 10 or 11, you're tired and you go to bed. But, you see, this is not just things Catholics should do. This is natural law. Even pagans know this. So us Catholics, if we're not doing this, we're worse than pagans, is what I'm telling you, as Catholics. And if you're going to be a father in a family, or you're going to be a bishop, or you're going to be a priest that rules people, you better have a routine. You better have a schedule. You're going to have people that are under you. Imagine you got a bishop, and he's got priests under him, and he wants them to wake up in the morning at a certain time to do prime and to do offices, but he's sleeping. So he appoints someone else to do it because he's sleeping all the time. Then who do we know? The Diamond Head. Yeah. Guy slept all day. Yeah. I took every year that came into that monastery, I did the full office of St. Benedict, all the offices. I followed the rule. And I would teach the people that came in because he was sleeping. All right. Here's the guy. He's the superior one in the joint, and he's sleeping all day. So if you're called to be a bishop or a priest, the only way, if you're living a life, you shouldn't be living that lifestyle even if you're living alone, is what I'm saying. It's not good. But if you're like that, you're only going to live alone because ain't nobody going to want to live with you who's waking up, you know what I mean? Oh, watch out. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So-and-so is sleeping. Let's tiptoe around the house. And when we come together at 12, we have to be quiet because so-and-so is sleeping. Okay. What time is that? Oh, it's around 2 o'clock. He's still sleeping. You know? And then the other way around, too, when he's up, when these guys are up during the day, okay, they're making that. He'd be up at night making noise for them. So these guys are sleeping. It's like, let's say, 3 or 4. And he's walking around the place making noise. Because he's up. So he has to, even if he wants to not bother the brothers that are sleeping, he's got to put on headphones and do things quietly. So he doesn't disturb, which you can do that, and not disturb other people. But it's not It's not a normal schedule. It's not normal for a family. It's not normal for a spiritual family where you have a bishop and a priest and you have a religious order. You have a the religious orders, they got their own different rules. Whatever rule you have, some people wake up earlier, some people wake up later. Fine, but you really definitely got to get into a routine. And what I was saying, your normal working routine that works really good is, you know when you got to go to work, and so you know that you wake up in the morning, you have breakfast, and you do your prayers. So you just, I did it when I came out of the monastery and I was working as an optician. I'd wake up like an extra hour, really, an hour earlier than I normally would, so I could do my prayers, I could read my Bible reading, have your breakfast, and then I'm ready to go off to work. And it was great. And the thing is, you say, okay, I'm getting up an hour early, so go to bed an hour earlier at night if you want to get it. You should get about 8 or 9 hours. We're not stoic. Some people, they get in stoic, oh, only 4 hours. So that's not really healthy. I mean, if you an extreme monk, maybe certain situations you need to do it for a certain period of time for a penance or something, but it's not normal. You should really get about 8 to 9 hours of sleep every night. You're doing physical labor, especially. Your body needs rest. But when you, and then so you're saying, okay, and if you're not working a job yet, you're just doing spiritual work. After that, then you can study the faith more. You can start reading and listening to lectures, and you could educate yourself. You could go online and try to be converting people. So there's a lot of work that you guys can do during the day if you're not working a job, but you're doing spiritual work for the church. Even here, like you guys were able to mix up different kinds of work, manual labor along with spiritual labor. If you guys were here longer, I would have start educating you with, like I told you before, which we didn't have time to do that, but scanning stuff in, OCR and stuff, printing out stuff. And when we start getting people come in here, we got to print out stuff. I mean, the printing department's going to be a full-time job. You wake up, do your morning stuff and all that, and then what do? You go in and you print out orders. You print books. That's all you do all day. Or what do? All you do is answer emails. I got like 10,000 emails. You go, you answer emails. That's what you do. So everyone eventually will have whatever their own job is. But this is just helping even people. That's why I say with these people, with these alcoholics, you know, they say, once alcohol, always an alcoholic. That's bullshit. God didn't create you to be that way. It's not in your DNA. It's a bad habit. It's a curse. Also, it's not just a bad habit. It's lack of moderation. It's a curse. And you can't control yourself because you're not right with God. We have people in here that were alcoholics, and then they amended their ways, and they drink every night, and they're not alcoholics anymore, and they're still drinking. When you start saying something like it's DNA or something, you're saying God created you to be evil. That's an excuse. And that's why they have such a hard time. Because now they're told 20 years dry, never had a drink. That's brutal. That's kind of hard. I mean, you can't have one drink or not like it. Now you put yourself under these extreme strictures. And so that finally you can't take it after about 10 or 15 years. You go nuts and then you start, you can't control yourself. It's moderation. Moderation! If I had you guys locked up and if I had a guy like that, a real bad alcoholic, I'd dry him out first. Then I would teach him how to moderate himself. I'd put him on a schedule in a minimum security camp, show him how to drink responsibly at night and moderately and all that. You can drink during the day if it's a sporting event or something. So teach him. So and then he can learn this is the proper way you drink. And then he's going to thank you for it, because before he was drinking just to get drunk. And when you're drunk, it's not a pleasant thing. And I don't know. I mean, people even know it. Like you like losing your a reasoning ability and losing your balance and getting all kinds of crazy and sick. But it applies to food too. Food, study, reading, writing, routine. You need to have that routine. And see what happens too when people don't have routines? They don't get projects done on time. They say they're going to do something, they never get it done. Oh, look at Hector, never got anything done. He started stuff and then go on to something else. No routine. Look, this is what I'm working on now. You got to come. And he's trying to tell me to do 20,000 things like him, and he can't do one thing. Not understanding that You got to prioritize saying, this is my job now. I didn't ask you to do this in this. I asked you to do this. And people that don't have routines, they can't just do one thing. The thing that they're told to do, they end up doing something else because they feel like it. I'm inspired to. Yeah, I didn't ask you for that. We need this now. When I was doing a lecture recently about Yanuka and all that, the iron was hot. I need to do that lecture now. It's not time for the prayer book back then. I can't do the prayer book then. I can't do the. I got to do the Trump thing, and I got to do the Yanuka thing, and that's on my mind. And I know it needs to be done. And I have a routine, and I set my mind to it. And I'm doing that, and that gets done. I don't change, and then go back over here. And now we're working on the prayer book. But when people don't have routines, they're all over the place. It's like if you're in the military and you tell a guy, look, you guys got to shoot some mortars over there because those guys are got a machine gun nest over there, and you feel like, nah, I don't want to be shooting a mortar. I'm going to do something else. You get your people killed. You got to do it now. That machine gun nest is over there, and it's plowing down our people. Set the mortar up and shoot it. You say, well, you want to shoot the mortar over here, or you want to go and do something different? This is now, later on. See, people... It's kind of like a spoiled kind of thing. People only do what they want to do, when they want to do it, when they feel like doing it. God does inspire you to want to do things. That's how come you get your work done. When I get inspired, the Trump thing, the Yanuka thing, you're on fire with it. You got the desire you want to do it. It's true. But then I can also, the very next day, that's why I purposely, do not go back and read other things that I know I need to do, because once I start reading them, I start going there. Oh, yeah, I'll give you an example. One about what does it mean all men are sinners? I know I need to do that. I already got a thing written up on that. But if I'm working on the prayer book right now, and I go over to the thing about all men are sinners, and I start reading it, I'm going, then I'm inspired to do that, and now I'm off track again. So I don't even go there. I already got my notes. I know what I need to do. I'm going to go back to them. We needed to do that when I needed to do it. That's done. I'm going to go back to it. If I went back to it now and then do a little prayer book thing, I'm off track. I'd be inspired to do it, but that's not what I need to do right now. I need to do the task at hand. And I'm talking to these people who are called to be leaders, rulers, bishops, priests, where you got to have these schedules. Priest where he's got to hear confessions. And that's a beautiful thing too, when you're hearing confessions and you're helping people to overcome their sins. That the priesthood to me is like a bulwark. It's a beautiful thing. The priest just can't start doing what he wants to do. He has a schedule. But he can still recreate. He can still do things he wants to do, but at the proper time. Now, you're like, you got a priest who's got to hear confessions on the seventh weekday for a certain period of time in a confessional, and he doesn't want to go there because he wants to do something else, and you got these people needing to hear confessions, and he doesn't want to be there. What kind of a priest is this? A father, too, who doesn't want to work and take care of his family. He's got certain work that he needs to do on your farm. Look, if you don't do your farm work the right way, you're not going to have no crops. You're going to have craps, no crops. You're not going to have anything. All right, so now, all right, I think that's about it. You can.